Good morning, everybody. And it's 2016. Yeah. Happy New Year. May God bless you all, and may you go into 2016 with expectancy, vibrancy, enthusiasm, and all these many smiling faces. May they continue. Look at those lovely guys at the back. Aren't they beautiful? Smiling, kissing, snogging. Oh, man. So, we're going to do things a little bit differently today. I brought along someone quite different. And this person, well, have you seen anyone different? Yeah, not Phoebe. You're also different. You're also special. But I brought along my young lady, my beautiful wife, Karen. And I've asked Karen just to share a little bit of the intro, to do the intro for me today. Because, well, she does it a lot better than what I could ever do it. So, Karen, won't you please come up?
Happy New Year, everybody. And how else to start the first meeting in January, but with resolutions. So, another year, another batch of resolutions. Will they fall by the wayside? Or will you actually lose the 5 or the 50 pounds that you've faithfully been carrying along with you? I don't know if Starla's here. Oh yeah, there she is. But why do you think we have overcrowded gyms in January? And by April, the gyms are having specials to get us back there. Let me guess, in 2016, you want to eat healthier, spend less, save more, spend more time with your family and friends, exercise, get fit, lose weight, quit smoking, start a new activity or a hobby, improve a relationship, enjoy life to the fullest. Do any of those sound familiar to you? They do to me. Well, you are not alone. At least 45% of North Americans have made resolutions this year. 1 out of 3 ditched their vows by the end of January. 8% of these people's great ideas make it past March. Many people use the new year as an opportunity to make large bucket lists or attempt extreme makeovers. This is a nice aspiration. But the average person has so many competing priorities that this type of approach is doomed to failure. Essentially, shooting for the moon can be so daunting, you end up failing to launch in the first place. So, with this motivating factor clearly in your mind, today, Steve won't be addressing New Year's resolutions or even get close to broaching your to-do list for this year. He will, however, be leaving you with 10 specific threads of thoughts that may possibly be of use as we cross the threshold into 2016. And over to Steve.
Well done. So we won't be speaking about resolutions, as Karen very clearly, succinctly pointed out. But to you folk, the 7.3 billion that have made it this far, well done. People are vastly different. We may have many things in common. We may have similar backgrounds. We may have similar cultures. We may have similar belief systems. We may have similar value systems. But we are fundamentally different. Quite a bit different. There's one in every crowd, I guess. But despite similar giftings, similar opportunities, and even similar environments, people can still be on entirely different wavelengths from a vision perspective. And I've come to realize that most folk that you actually speak with kind of know where they're going. They kind of have a vision. They'll eventually get there. Well, kind of. So I've been blessed. I've been very, and I say blessed, and I really mean it. I've been raised up in a Christian family, in a Christian home, where both my parents have inputted into my life, and they've really contributed to my life. This input continues to this day, but furthermore, I've also been blessed by having a most amazing wife and two most amazing children, Vonnie and Kyle. And these guys are really a source of godly wisdom. And I'm grateful to God for them. And I mean that honestly. They've actually been quite integral in the formation of my belief system and of my value system. But the story doesn't end there or here. I've also been blessed by numerous friends and mentors, counselors, and godly folk, not only whilst we were in South Africa, but here as well. Life also has a strange way of molding our ways and our thoughts. So today I want to share a rather personal insight into I suppose, my life. Some of the pillars, some of the threads, as it were, that I've come to realize, that I've come to understand, are integral and absolutely essential in making it through into 2016. New Year's resolutions, well, like Kyron said, 8% make it to March. Is that correct? It's pretty dismal. But I really want to speak about some points of life that may help you. I can honestly say that of the 10 points that I'm going to be speaking on incredibly briefly, these points are absolutely integral. And the first point I want to raise is God's perspective on your capacity. In Philippians 4, verse 13, it says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? You see, behind every successful vision is a person who truly believes that God is huge. They have magnified God. Their God, their magnified God, is huge in their thoughts, huge in their beliefs, but he's also huge in their lives. The mindset of who God is very discernible in a person whose vision is big. It's amazing that these folk have got a cultivated inner life. They've got a deep awareness of God's word. Their ability to dream big arises out of who God is in their perspective, in their mind, and who He is. It comes out quite strongly in their walk, in their day-to-day walk, and how they serve God every single day. The second point is, expose yourself to godly, wise, big thinkers. There's an awesome scripture in Proverbs 13, verse 20 that says, he who walks as a companion with wise men is wise. But he who associates with self-confident fools is a fool himself and shall smart for it. Have you noticed how many influential people have children who have become prominent leaders? I'm sure that you would have noticed that big business leaders surround themselves with leaders who are experts in their sphere. People that have the ability to see aspects from a different outlook. Because these guys, these folk, will add a different perspective. They'll add a different paradigm. They'll add a different value to that organization. They'll actually add to your vision. When you're around others with a larger perspective, it rubs off, actually. As we head into 2016, I would like to encourage each one of you to surround yourself with individuals that have a different perspective than what you do, a different paradigm, possibly, than what you have. After all, isn't this an aspect of the apostolic model that we speak about? The third point is be creative and develop the ability to dream. There's an awesome scripture in Ephesians 3 verse 20. Listen how this comes alive. Now to him who by the power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far above and above all that we ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Have you noticed that some people have got a constant desire, persistent desire to learn, to ask questions? I look at Caleb, he never stops. And grow how they think. I regard that as good. I'm not sure if all of you know a guy by the name of Ray Oliver, one of the great generals. But Ray Oliver talks about giving the Holy Spirit hooks upon which he can hang his creativity, his gifts. You know, the Holy Spirit is so creative, inspiring us to be at the cutting edge of effectivity in the kingdom. Without creativity, we become, dare I say it, boring, dull. We kind of lose our drive. The question I ask myself often is, how can I increase my creativity? Einstein said that imagination or creativity is more important than knowledge. My fourth point is don't be satisfied with the status quo. Don't settle for good. Romans 8 verse 37 says, yet amid all of these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. Good is the poor cousin of excellent. An effective vision maker will never settle at one victory, nor will he or she be happy in doing things well. Well, let me change that, in only doing things well. They'd have a godly ambition in living a lifestyle of excellence and winning every war. There may be some battles that you'll lose, but winning every war. Why? Because allow your victories to stack. Allow your faith to grow. Allow God to use you in greater areas of influence, in greater spheres. Many leaders, many people, and regrettably myself included, have taken a risk or two, and we kind of settle for good outcomes, rather than continuing to push forward to find those extraordinary results. Don't settle for good when God has great and mighty deeds of exploits for you. Aim for the best. Know your strengths and focus on them. Exodus 9 verse 16 says, but for this purpose I have raised you up to show you my power so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. Thank you, Paul and Lisa, for giving the eldership team the most amazing book. It's headed now, Discover Your Strengths. What's this book about? Well, glad you asked. This book is about finding out where you're good, finding out what your strengths are. I'm surprised how many folk spend so much time focusing on their weaknesses to the detriment of their strengths. I've spent a fair amount of doing squash coaching over the years, and one of the things I have really put into practice is that very seldom, and I say less than 0.01% of the time, have I ever focused on any weakness. Because as you develop on the strengths of that particular player, those weaknesses are automatically eliminated anyway. I was spending some time with someone this week, yesterday in fact. And how do you get rid of darkness? Easy, by focusing on light. Start developing your understanding on why God put you on earth. When you start responding to that call on your life, I promise you, big things will start happening. I do have a caution, especially as we go into the new year when everyone is so motivated and so gung-ho. Be cautious about getting involved in every single thing that's available. Trying to do 5 good things may stop you being effective in one great area. I'm not shooting myself in the foot, I hope. Respond to what God is saying, folk. The scope of your vision grows as your focus narrows. The sixth point I have is the synergy of team. And I can't enforce that greater, but could I say team, team, and more team? Proverbs 15 verse 22, it says, the scripture says, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. You have a look at the story of Moses, a burnt out Moses, suddenly experiences the benefit of working in team. I would encourage you to read Exodus 18. It is phenomenal. It is absolutely wonderful. You have a look at Jesus. He calls his team in Mark chapter 1. And then in Mark chapter 3, he releases that exact team. I wish it was that easy in 3 chapters to call and release. But every successful vision is always the result of a loyal and functional team. Your team building ability will dramatically enable or disable the size of your vision. The spin-offs of team are simply phenomenal. There's an increase of wisdom, access, ideas, opportunities that come through active network cultivation. Many different parts together make a body perfect. Wouldn't you expect the vision of a person who networks to be greater than the person of someone who doesn't? The seventh point is write down your dreams. Habakkuk 2 verse 2 says, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he who reads it. So he who may run, who reads it. I've never seen someone bored when talking about their dreams. People enjoy talking and dreaming about their wish list, their bucket list, the things that excite them. writing down your vision actually doesn't take discipline. It's one of the most exciting things that you could actually do. Over and over and over again, you'll see a common thread among great visionaries, among great people. They write down their visions. And they write it on paper. My eighth point, be specific, be intentional, and be deliberate. Every successful vision had a blueprint that set the wheels in motion. I'm amazed when you read the story of Solomon and his planning of the temple in 1 Chronicles chapter 3 and 4 and 5. He is so specific. It's actually, and I'm cautious how I say this, but it doesn't make for very exciting reading because he is so deliberate in his measurements and where the wood must be obtained from and what he must do. And it wasn't kind of left by chance. It was exact. It was specific. It was intentional. Deliberate. But the end result is amazing. You have a look at 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and the latter portion of verse 13 and 14. It says, "The house of the Lord was filled with a cloud so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house." You see, Solomon taking such intricate detail, and he was so deliberate and so specific, resulted in God immediately filling the place. Do you fly by the seat of your pants? Or are you specific and intentional and deliberate in your goals and your vision as you build? Sometimes it's necessary to fly by the seat of your pants. That's life. But I think it's a lot easier to be deliberate, specific, and intentional. Do you have goals? Do you know what you're wanting to achieve? Do you have timelines? How will you monitor, or can you monitor what you're trying to achieve? Having short, medium, and long-term goals may just help you achieve these. Point 9 is recovery from big failures. In Genesis 50 verse 20, it's the most amazing scripture. "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Success is not final, and failure is not fatal. Don't underestimate the power of a great failure. Failures remind you that life is short. Failures develop your pain threshold. Failures purify and humble. Matt, you're nodding quite a bit. But failures bring a powerful perspective as well. Sometimes a failure in one area can increase the size of one of your dreams. I'm not for a moment suggesting going and knocking your head against the wall because it's so nice when you stop, but I am suggesting that you take cognizance of those failures. What have you learned from them? My wife added to my notes, she said, rather die trying than not try at all. Thank you, Karen. My last point is remember who you are. In Ephesians 4, verse 1, the scripture says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." many great visionaries, many great people often achieve great results. They really do. But at a huge sacrifice. They may excel in all the above points, but in the process, they kind of become mean people. I've done that. Suddenly, that vision has become so great that they don't care about others around them. They become so driven that they've kind of lost the godly element in what they're doing. Always remember why we are here. What is our purpose? And that we are called primarily to be servants of God. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. May God bless you and keep you all safely in His grip. Can we pray? Father, you're such a good God. And Father, we thank you that you've brought us to the start of yet another new year, Lord. And we're grateful for that, Lord. And Father, this year we don't want to waste a moment, Father, not a day, not a moment. And Father, we want to, with your help, Father, we want to have the courage to let go of past mistakes, past failures, and even let go of past successes, Lord. We want to walk fully in what you've prepared in advance for us, Father. Father, we pray that godly character will be our trademark in every situation and in every single circumstance that we face, Lord. Father, we want to be so intentional to do your plans, Father, and your purpose. We want to be so effective for you in 2016, Lord. And so, Father, I pray for every single one of those threads that you've impressed in my heart, Father. I pray that that will permeate this place in a major way, Father. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done. Bless this home today, Father. Bless this house. In your precious name, Father. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.